James and I, and 12-year-old Willie, were on our way by sleigh from Battle Creek to Wright, Michigan, in December 1866. The first night, we rented a room at a noisy rum tavern, the only lodgings available. The next morning, we traveled 15 miles to Brother Hardy's home.
Brother and Sister Hardy, I can't tell you how much it means to us to enjoy an Advent home and simple, healthful food after the disreputable lodgings we were forced to endure last night. God bless you.
Well, thank you, Brother White.
Sister Hardy, do you remember the first time I came to your home? Back in January of 1859? I stayed overnight that time.
I certainly do, Sister White. You were traveling with Brother and Sister Loughborough.
That's right. Your home was an oasis of peace and comfort on a difficult journey then, just as it is today. That very night I wrote in my journal that I hoped to further my acquaintance with your family. I'm glad I've been able to do so.
Much as I hate to leave, we do have about 3 more hours of travel before we reach Brother Root's home. I think we'd better get bundled up. If you're ready, Brother Rogers?
Oh, of course. Right away, Brother White.
During our 6 weeks at Wright, I cared for James continually, giving him therapeutic baths, taking him out to ride and walk, and writing the reports he dictated for the review. One day, a snowstorm threatened the exercise program.
James, let's go for our walk now.
Ellen, I can't walk through that deep snow.
Oh, yes, you can. I borrowed some boots from Brother Root and tracked a quarter of a mile. Surely you can step in my tracks.
If you can do that, Ellen, I can certainly follow.
James' health gained steadily, and once when I saw him speaking at a meeting, I wept with joy. On January 29th, 1867, we left on the 40-mile trip to Greenville, Michigan, a long day's journey by sleigh.
Come in, come in. Get out of that storm. Sister Maynard will take your coats while I go help get your team in the barn. Oh, is that young Willie I see out there?
Yes, Brother Maynard. He's helping Brother Rogers, who's driving.
Well, come on over by the fire and warm up while Brother Maynard slips on his mackinaw.
Thank you, Sister Maynard.
You're more than welcome, Brother White. We hope to hear you preach while you're here. Are you well enough to do that?
I grow a little stronger each day. I was able to speak for short periods and write. We plan to speak here on systematic benevolence and health reform.
For 6 weeks, James and I worked with the churches at Greenville and Orleans. The more James tried to do, trusting in God, the stronger he became. We decided to move to Greenville, and Brother Maynard helped us find land to build on. We traveled to Battle Creek in March, seeking comfort and encouragement. What we found was quite different.
I don't understand what's happened. We've been received so coldly by those we thought were friends.
I had no inkling of this attitude when we left 3 months ago.
Neither did I. The only point of disagreement I knew of was that people thought our going would be bad for your health, but your improvement shows the trip was the right thing to do.
I don't think we can bear our testimony to this church until they give evidence they wish our services.
Gradually, we learned that rumors were once more flying. James, it was said, had a craze for money, and I did not make all my testimonies public. I called a meeting to answer the charges against me.
Sister White, we are unhappy with the way you have given your so-called testimonies in public, holding people up to public censure.
Often the Lord has shown me things about certain actions which affect the church. These actions are public and must be reproved publicly to preserve the church.
Yet In other cases, you have badgered people in private. Their discouragement is remarked, but no one can speak out on their behalf since you cloak your activities with secrecy.
Frequently, what is shown to me is of a private nature, reproving secret sins. Were I to make public what should be kept private, I should sin against God and wrong the individuals.
We have the right to know everything you are shown in vision, and all that you do.
I will never betray the confidence reposed in me by the erring and repentant, or reveal to others that which should only be brought before the guilty ones.
Distressed by this hostility, James resigned from the Publishing Association and the new Health Reform Institute, and on April 25th, 1866, we left Battle Creek for Greenville. About 2 weeks earlier, James had attempted to speak to a congregation in a small town, but became faint, and I had to finish the sermon.
James, are you getting worse again? You've preached without trouble many times now.
It's not that, Ellen. It was so hot and airless in that small room, I felt weak and faint. I've written an article for the Review, protesting the lack of fresh air in many of our churches. Here, read it.
We plead for air in the house of God. Heaven has liberally given it without money and without price. We have not taken a cold for a year and a half, and the reason is simply this. We have a current of air through our bedroom and sitting room and cannot speak in a close room. Again we say, we plead for good, fresh air such as fills all outdoors.
Well, what do you think?
I think your idea's right, and it harmonizes with the health reforms I was shown in vision.
James and I were to travel much during 1867, including a trip to Canada, which on July 1st would become an independent nation. First, though, we had to attend the May 1867 General Conference session in Battle Creek. There, J.N. Andrews was elected president, replacing James, who had served for 2 years. About 2 weeks later, James and I visited Orange, Michigan, where we stayed with brother and sister Franklin L. Howe. James, still far from well, lay on a couch where he could look out the front door.
Ellen! Ellen!
Yes, James?
Ellen, do you see Sister Howe out in that cornfield hoeing?
Yes, I see her.
Well, please get me my trousers and boots.
What are you going to do? Do you want a dress?
Yes! I'm ashamed of myself. A big strapping man like me lying here, and that woman with all her household duties out there in that garden hoeing corn. I'm going to help her.
Splendid. The more you do, the better.
Well, now, I mustn't do too much. Dr. Jackson was very definite that a return to physical activity would cause a fatal stroke.
I have been shown, however, that physical exercise is necessary to your recovery. Oh, James, I'm glad to see you taking this beginning step. You'll get even more exercise when we get home to Greenville.
It's splendid to see the plow turning the soil on our own farm, Ellen. We should start an orchard. I'll be back.
Yes, an orchard. And berries. We must set out strawberries, raspberries, blackberries, and some grapes.
That's ambitious thinking. Who will we get to do all the work?
Why, we will, of course.
Oh.
Willie, here's some money. Please buy 3 hoes and 3 rakes. Be sure to buy 3 of each.
Yes, Mother. Here are the tools you wanted, Mother.
Thank you, Willie. You take a hoe, and here's one for me. James, here's yours.
Ellen, I can't do this kind of work. Making a garden is much more difficult than hoeing Sister Howe's corn.
You know what Dr. Jackson said, no physical or mental activity.
But God has said you need both in order to get well.
James continued to improve. In June, he spent 2 hours loading lumber from a river barge into a wagon. That Sabbath, June 29th, he baptized 4 candidates in a lake near Fair Plains. One of them was Willie, now nearly 13 years old. In July, the hay was ready. Neighbors cut it, and James expected them to help him get it in. But I had other plans.
Mr. Green, may I talk with you a moment?
Why, sure, Miss White. What can I do for you?
This may sound strange, yeah, but there's something I don't want you to do.
What?
My husband plans to ask you to help get his hay in. I would like for you to tell him.
I don't know what I'm going to do, Ellen. I expected William Green and some others to get my hay in for me, but now they all tell me they're too busy.
Well, James, let's show the neighbors that we can attend to the work ourselves.
Oh.
Willie and I will rake the hay and pitch it on the wagon if you'll drive the team.
Well, all right. But how can we make the haystack?
If you pitch up the hay from the wagon, I'll build the stack and tramp it down. While we do that, Willie can be raking for the next load.
Whoa, Princess.
A look out in the hayfield, Abby. Ain't that Mrs. White, the preacher woman, up on that stack, tromping down the hay?
Why, it certainly is, Charlie. Well, I never.
Now we know for sure. They're regular folks, just like us.
Morning, Ellen.
Why, James, you sound happy.
Oh, I am happy. I've been working hard at haying and plowing, doing a man's work. Last night I had the sweetest sleep I've had in months.
Oh.
I think I'm finally on my way to full recovery.
Oh, so do I, James. Thank God, so do I.
His health restored, in October 1867, James insisted on a full investigation of his financial affairs. This investigation thoroughly disproved the rumors and allegations. Once more, James and I enjoyed the friendship of the Battle Creek believers. And in December 1868, we moved back to that city.